And if any, you know, the devil can beat you over the head with your past. And don't let him do it.
No.
Don't let him do it. If it's under the blood, what'll happen? So it'll be going along pretty good, and somebody will bring it up. Your family will bring it up. Or somebody will throw it up in your face.
Right.
And you mark it down, When somebody throws your past up in your face, they're led by Satan. You listen to me? God's forgive you of something and somebody throws it in your face. They're led by Satan. The devil does that. He's the accuser of the brethren. God the Holy Ghost don't operate that way. God the Holy Ghost don't accuse you. He'll convict you and deal with you about sin in your life, but He don't condemn you and accuse you. Amen. So we need to pray for our brothers and sisters about this thing. The devil used many a good man that's had mistakes in their past, and now they're doing nothing for God because the devil and church members have convinced them they can't. So don't listen. Did you know today is a day that we've never seen before and there'll never be a day? Did you know today is 04-04-04? Really is. Won't be that way for 1,000 years. Isn't that cool? And at 4:44 this evening, it's 4:44, 4:44. Unless you forgot you set your clocks up and it was 3:33, 4:44. But the truth is, every Sunday is unique. We'll never gather together just like this again. You'll never be seated just like this again. Never will happen. Tonight, I don't have a message like I had the other night at Bright Light Baptist Church. Those are messages that are called, what we call, classics, those stories like that. Tonight, I have a burden for our church. And tonight is going to determine which way our church goes in the next 5 weeks. The youth rally, the big service, will be 6 weeks from last night. 6 weeks from tonight. The Friday night and Saturday night services will already be over with. Now, tonight, I'm going to begin with myself, and then I'm going to push you. Don't get mad at me. I'm going to push you. And you need to be pushed. We all do. There's not whoever that is, Georgia Tech and somebody's playing for the national championship in basketball tomorrow night. They didn't get there but without a coach pushing them. Then they run them boys to death. They drill them, they train, they push. And if we're going to have a great youth rally, we're going to have to go into training. I hope we already have been, but tonight it's going to be intensive training, starting tonight. I know what somebody's sitting there thinking, oh Lord, here we go, 6 weeks of this. That's right, 6 weeks of this. I'll never forget last year, over 900 in that Friday night service. That made, I tell you, I don't know if there's a bigger youth meeting in this part of the country than that Friday night service. 60 saved. I preach youth meetings all over the country. I've never seen that many people saved at a youth meeting. That didn't happen just because people like me or Shining Light Baptist Church is the biggest church in town. That happened because we got down and put our face in the dirt and in the ground, and we worked on that thing last year. God don't bless a service because of our works. But I'm going to show you in the Bible that God does look down, and when He sees us get serious, He gets serious. It's our heart. It's our heart tonight. I'm going to do my very best to get my heart as serious and sanctified and dedicated as I can for the next 6 weeks. Amen? More than normal. We always ought to stay right with God. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you put on an extra push. Try extra hard. Just rear back and hit it hard again. So let's talk about that. I'm not a big celebrity. I'm not called to preach in the big meeting no more. I preached with Dr. Bob Gray from Jacksonville, Florida, one of the greatest preachers in America, right when I was still in my 20s, and preached all over the country back then. And I have, but you know, I'll never preach with the big boys now. They won't mess with me because they're afraid of what their friends will say to them. I had a preacher just this week said, "Now, Brother Danny," he said, This preacher called me and said he can't be in that service if you're going to be in that service. And I said, his problem is, that's what's called the fear of man. They're scared to death somebody's going to say something about them for being around me. That's why a lot of folks won't even come to our church, because they're scared of what somebody's going to say to them. But if you like the preaching good enough, then you ain't going to worry about it. But if you say, well, I can take it or leave it, then you let the fear of man scare you. So I'm not going to be that way. I'm never going to be no great big super national known preacher. So I've got to have help. I have got to have help from somewhere above. And so I'm going to tell you, you can get it tonight. We're going to prepare for our spring Sunday school campaign and the youth rally. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 1. I want you to listen to every word I say tonight, and then we'll talk about some other things. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the vision and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Probably just drank water, I assume. Neither did I anoint myself at all. Didn't even take a bath. Till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, that's April. That's our month right now. As I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold ephod. His body was also like the beryl, and his face was as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. I wonder why that was. Because he'd been fasting for 3 weeks and they hadn't. He saw it and they didn't. They said, well, I didn't feel nothing in that service. And Daniel saw an angel. Amen. Just because you feel something don't mean God ain't there. Might be you the one. People say, well, I just don't feel nothing in our church no more. Well, guess what? It might not be the church. Them men didn't see nothing, but Daniel saw something. Amen. Look here what he said. But a great quaking fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. When I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Nobody goes on their back worshiping God in the Bible. Everybody goes down on their face. And behold, an angel touched me. An angel touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. You ever wonder why I pray like this? Like this? That's what that angel did to Daniel. He was flat out prostrate on the floor, and the angel touched him and put him on his palms of his hands and on his knees. That's a good position to get in. Amen? What he said, verse 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel. Now, the word Daniel, that my name scares me, because the word Dan means God is my judge. And that's haunted me all my life, man. And it sure is the truth. God is my judge. And you know what? He said, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince, look at that verse 12. Let's look at that just a second. He said, Daniel, don't be afraid. Stand up. He said, the first day you made up your mind to chasten your flesh and get your prayers answered, we heard you up in heaven. The first day. That's tonight. That's our night tonight. First day Daniel made up his mind to seek God, God heard him. Now look, verse 13. But the prince, little p, of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, 3 weeks. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes. The Bible don't say Michael is an archangel. Don't ever say that, because it don't say he is. He's one of the chief princes. Came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Now, I want to talk about this for a minute. I want to talk about some things that we need to do. We are going to set our minds tonight to seek the face of God and chasten ourselves before God for the youth rally, May 14, 15, and 16. We have 40 days beginning tomorrow. 40 days pops up all through the Bible. The temptation in the wilderness. Jonah came to Nineveh. I preached this last year, that story about Jonah. And he said, Jonah came in, he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The people of Nineveh got down and fasted and prayed, and God spared their city. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. The world is worse tonight than it was this time last year. The summer of 2004 is going to be more wicked. The videos on TV are more ungodly. The dress styles will be more wicked this summer than there was last summer. The talk on the street will be more filthy. The attitude toward... We was going to church the other night. Where was we? We're on bus route. Was it bus route yesterday? Casey, when we seen that bumper sticker? Where you at? Yeah, when we seen that bumper sticker. And we was going down to Hickory. We was going down there to meet Brother Mike and them. And we was going on bus route down there in the car in front of us. And on that bumper sticker on the back of that car, it said, if money is the root of all evil, why do churches beg for it? Big letters this big. Oh, I never wanted to bust out a back glass so bad in my life. I thought, you idiot. First of all, I don't know churches that beg for money. I might be some preachers that do. Second, if they're going to quote the Bible, they ought to quote it right. The Bible don't say money's the root of all evil. Amen. And thirdly, they love money more than the people that they're accusing. They're just jealous because they ain't got none. Ride around with hemp signs on the back of their car. Some fool like thing like that. And I want to tell you something, brother. They're going to be more blasphemous this year than there was last year. It'll be harder to get to victory this year than it was last year. But I still believe tonight in my heart the grace of God is sufficient. I believe God has power to match the hour. I believe the old-time power of God is still the answer to every person's need, and that young people still need the Lord, and that we can see a mighty outpouring of God's Spirit and young people saved at the youth rally, even in spite of old Brother Danny and little flashlight Baptist. Amen? I believe our God... Listen, I'm little, but our God's not little. Church might be... We might not have much money, but our Father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And all we got to do is get to Him tonight. I'm going to be calling us to prayer tonight. I'm going to be calling us to fasting tonight. People say, well, I want to go in church where I can get involved. You can get involved tonight. Most time when people say, I want to get involved, what they mean is, I want to get in the spotlight and run things. You want to get involved? You're going to get your chance to get involved tonight. Amen. Boy, I tell you what we need to do. We need some men here tonight that'll do this. You take your like if and roll up your sleeve and say, all right, God, we're only going to have the summer of 2004 one time. It's only going to happen once. Let's just haul off, get a big deep breath. That's the way Daddy always did. He'd spit on his hand like that. And we'd take that axe and go, whack, lay it to the root of the tree. That's what I'm going to do tonight. Call our church to work. And so, we're going to look at this story here tonight, here in the book of Daniel, and let's talk about it. We're going to pray. Daniel here tonight was praying for 21 days. And as he prayed for 21 days, God sent him the answer to his prayer. We got 40 days starting tomorrow. We have 40 days starting tomorrow. And we have 40 days beginning tomorrow. Amen. All right. 40 days beginning tomorrow. Tuesday, it'll be 39. Look. And did you know something, brother? After that, it'll be 38 and 37 and 36. And it'll be here before you know it. Now, I tell you, we can fool around and we can act the fool, you know, and say God bless you and not come to prayer meeting and not really take God serious and go home and turn TV on 3 or 4 hours a night and do that, and we'll have a, quote, so-so youth rally. But I don't want that. I want that. I want the unusual. I want to see God do something. I want God to do something for my girls that's down there in Florida tonight. I want God to do something for our boys. Listen, there's teenagers in our church need a touch from God. Oh, listen, I want God to give them something real, don't you? Touch your kids and my kids and your grandkids and your neighbor's kids and your family's kids. And He'll do it, and He can do it, and He will do it if we'll get ourselves in a position that He can do that. Now, I'm going to illustrate this tonight. I'm not going to preach about it long. Just give you a few points, and then we're going to talk about our plan. Okay? All right. Here's a man, Daniel. I think you helped me do this one time, didn't you, Dusty? Come on up here. He's Daniel here tonight. And Daniel one day decides that he needs help from God. And Daniel here, he said, I need something from God. Now, he's saying, oh, Lord, I want a good youth rally. Oh, God, I want a good youth rally. You know what he done? He made up his mind. He said, I set my face. That's the first part right there. And he said, I'm going to make up my mind that I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast until I hear from God. All right. He's down. He makes up his mind. He don't eat one bite of food for 21 days. You say, I'd kill someone. No, it wouldn't. I know people's done it. I've got at least two preacher friends of mine that have made 40-day fast on their own just by themselves. One of the first time he did it, he lost 57 pounds, and he come out, and brother, I'll tell you what will happen, you won't have a spot on your skin if you did that. You know, old brown spots, that's all that poison in you. And white stuff on your tongue, all that, your tongue looks like a little baby. If you'll fast, you know why you get a headache when you try to fast? That's the poison starting to come out of you. But old Daniel, he begins to pray. He does not eat one bite for 21 days. Now, the Bible said, over here in heaven, I need to make me a heaven. Come on up here, Mr. T. Mr. T here, he's going to be God in heaven. All right? Can you sit right there? Why don't you sit right there? Sit up there. God in heaven on the throne. That's the best we can do, sorry. Amen. He's God on His throne. Amen. I never thought God looked like Gomez. But anyway, here's God on His throne. and here's God upon His throne. Now, the Bible said that when Daniel got down to pray, Daniel got down to pray on the first day, and he said, oh, God. And when he did, his prayer went, shh, and it landed in heaven. And an angel come in, and he said this. Come here, Rog, help me out. He's going to be the angel. And God told him, he said, who's that I hear down there? He said, Daniel's praying. And you know what? First day that Daniel prayed, the first day that Daniel made up his mind to seek God, God heard him in heaven. Let me tell you what, tonight, half of the battle is making up your mind. Half of the battle is making up your mind. If you get your mind made up, bless God, I'm going to fast. Bless God, I'm going to pray. You've done made it halfway there already. That's it. Amen. And so Daniel come. His prayer come, and God heard him the first day he prayed. And God gave the angel answer. Now, I don't know John what he's praying for, but God gives him these Reese's cups. All right. Here's the answer to Daniel's prayer. And God takes this answer, and he says, here. Take it to him. On the first day. He's really taking this serious, ain't he? Amen. Amen. All right. Now look, the first day. But the Bible, why didn't Daniel get his prayer answered that first day? It took 21 days for this angel to get that answer from heaven over here to Daniel. 21 days. It ain't that far to heaven if you're an angel. I mean, they can zoom, man, speed of light. They can just materialize. But here's the key to this story. He said, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. He withstood me. Now, what's that? Prince of the kingdom of Persia. The prince of the kingdom of Persia represents demonic powers that are in the atmosphere that somewhere between here and God that fight up there to keep our prayers from being answered. You say, I've never heard nothing like that in my life. Well, it's the truth, brother. The truth is, he was on his way with an answer, and he said, the Prince of Persia. You say, well, I believe that was talking about the literal physical man who was in charge of Persia. You tell me that a man, a human a flesh and blood man, going to stop an angel from heaven? No way. No way. It was a supernatural being. So now, let's just say he's up in the sky, and all of this from here to here is sky. He's coming down. He's not going left. I am. Use your imagination. He's coming down. He says, all right, I'm leaving with the answer. All right, he starts this way. And he gets about right here, up yonder in the atmosphere, somewhere above the clouds, and the Prince of Persia comes. Here he comes. Come on, you look more like the devil than anybody I see up here. All right, so here's the Prince of Persia. And the Prince of Persia is, he's got his, let's see if we can't make you look a little meaner here, brother. You need a pitchfork. Here's your pitchfork. Like that. All right. And the kingdom of the Prince of Persia here. And this guy, he's on his way with Daniel's answer. But he don't get there. All right. Now he starts this way and you stop him right here. Now Daniel, he's praying. Oh, Daniel, he keeps praying. Oh, God, it's been 2 days. Nothing ain't happened. Oh, God, it's been 3 days. Nothing ain't happened. Oh, God, I prayed for a week. And nothing ain't happened. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me tonight. Did you know? You know what we do? We'll pray for a day or two, and if nothing don't happen, we give up. We'll fast one time, and if the answer don't come, oh, Dad, laid in there and laid in there for 21 solid days and nights and did not eat a bite and prayed, and the answer was on the way, but he kept hindering. Just keep hindering. Don't let him through. And don't give up, angel. You keep trying to get through, and the kingdom, the Prince of Persia won't let him. The demon. Boy, I'll tell you what, them demons are up there. Now, listen. The devil can only be at one place at one time. The devil is not omnipresent like God is. Right? Amen. Y'all listen to me? All right. Now, y'all talk to me for a minute. Talk when I say this. Who's this man right here? Who's the rest of you think it is? Half of you didn't say nothing. All right. Who's this man representing right here? All right. Now, who's this representing over here? All right. I'm just wondering if y'all even listening. All right. Who's this right here? Angel. What's this right here? Answer. Shut up. All right, who's this right here? It ain't the devil, it's the kingdom of the Prince of Persia. That's a demon that's over Persia. Did you know that the devil has demons assigned to different geographical locations? Like, for example, there is a Prince of Morganton flying around up there tonight, and he hates my guts. I guarantee you. He looks down and says, what does he think he has to come down there and shining blah, blah, blah. Who's he think he is? And boy, I tell you what, he hates me and he's trying to hinder me. But there's somebody above him that loves me, and that's the Lord. And I got to say, oh God, help me. And God's sending the answer. The answer's on the way, but the devil hinders him. The devil hinders him. 21 days, he prays 14. 2 weeks, nothing happened. 15, nothing happened. 16, nothing happened. 17, nothing happened. 18, 19, 20, nothing happened. But on the 21st day, the Bible said, see, God looked down and he said, you got that answer to Daniel yet? He said, I can't get through. The demons won't let me through. I'm no match for this guy. He's stronger than I am. Then God said, Michael, come here a minute. You be Michael, but Jason. Michael, come over here. Michael's one of the chief princes. And the reinforcements come in. And God says, I want you to go help him get that prayer through to Daniel. Now, Michael can come in and he can handle the Prince of Persia. Amen? That's what I'm saying. Michael can come in. I'm glad, brother, God's always got something more powerful than what the devil's got that can help us. It don't matter how strong the devil's working in your life. If one angel can't do it, God will call the reinforcements in and give you another. All you've got to do is make up your mind. Make up your mind. I said make up your mind. Shining light tonight, let's make up our mind. Will you do it with me? I'm going to. Will you do it with me? Say, let's make up our mind. Let's make up our mind. Let's make up our mind. Let's make up our mind tonight that we're going to get to God. And God will send us the help we need. This service tonight will determine how our youth rally goes. If we set our face tonight to seek God and pray 40 days starting tomorrow. So this angel here, chief angel, Prince Michael, he can take this man and just throw him out of the way. Go ahead and bring the answer on. See? He's no match for him. Yeah! He's been wanting to do that because he's in the tough man contest. And amen? And see right here, Daniel gets his answer. I bet he's glad he stayed down there and prayed now, ain't he? Amen. He got his Reese cuts. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah, him Reese can make you shout. Yeah, amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight, brother. Listen, if he had quit in 2 weeks, he probably wouldn't have got it. If he'd have quit in 2.5 weeks, he probably wouldn't have got it. Oh, church, hear me tonight. Everybody listen to me tonight. Listen, brother, we just got a little redneck preacher named Danny. Oh, we don't have a lot of money. We don't have a building over yonder with air conditioning. I'm going to tell you what we can do tonight. If we'll ever one bind together and put our hearts and minds together, God in heaven, we'll get on this thing and give us a great youth rally. We'll see people saved. We'll see changed lives. We'll see boys called to preach. We'll see our church on fire for God. Amen. If you'll quit watching soap operas and leaving all your time with other things and leave off the sin and get the sin out of our heart and clean our lives up and get on our face, God will send the answer and do what we can do, okay? All right, Daniel got his answer. He's going to share it with his pastor.
Amen.
With a Reese cup. Amen. The answer started 21 days. Listen, tonight, wouldn't it be something if tonight we knew that God looked down in heaven and said, I like what you're saying, Brother Danny. Here, take a minute. Answer there. Give him a great youth rally. And it starts down tonight. Now, y'all can't say, oh boy, the Lord done answered it. We don't have to fast. Then it won't make it. Because it's a long way from heaven to here. And there's going to be some things fighting it from getting here. That spiritual war, when the Bible said you war, not, wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, that's what it's talking about. People say principalities and power is just the government and stuff. Uh-uh, man. It says not flesh and blood. It ain't flesh and blood. There are demonic powers over our heads. Have you ever prayed it just felt like there's a big old cloud over you and you just, that's a demonic presence. He don't want our prayer. But you just keep on praying like the old folks said till the light breaks through. All right, you fellas be seated just a second. Now what I want us tonight, we are as of tomorrow. They do this in the Bible, and I'm going to do it tonight. I'm going to call a 40-day fast beginning tomorrow. We're going to divide our church up into 7 groups. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. Those that take Saturday and Sunday get 1 week off because there's only 5. There are 6 Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays for youth rally. I want you to know which day that you're going to take. And beginning tomorrow morning, any time God looks down from heaven, He's going to see somebody from this church fasting until the youth rally hits. That's what I feel like God's put on my heart. And I want us to do that beginning tonight. You say, you sound serious. I am very serious. We have got to have help. Now, when you fast, we do several things. Let me talk about fasting itself. I've got a tape. I should have brought tonight because everybody always asks for it. I preached a whole message on what the Bible teaches about fasting. Fasting is when you abstain from physical nourishment of your physical body in order that you might have the power of God and God answer your prayer. Fasting is not a hunger strike. It's not saying, I ain't going to eat a bite to you. It's not like that at all. It's a humbling and a chastening of our own bodies before God Almighty. It's when we're serious. I mean, listen, when you get somebody dies in your family or somebody's about to die in the hospital, you don't want nothing to eat, do you? Your body's naturally telling you, do without, do without, do without. Some people fast different ways, but it's always without food. There is in the Bible what we call a supernatural fast in the Bible. Moses was on one of these in the book of Exodus and when he was over there, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights up on the mountain. The reason I say it's supernatural is because he came down, he saw the children of Israel dancing around a golden calf, he threw the commandments down, busted them all, and turned right around and went back up on the mountain and went another 40 days and nights. That's supernatural. That's impossible for a human being to do. Jesus Christ was on that supernatural fast. Elijah, I think, one of my other fellows. But did you know almost every fast in the Bible is 1 or 2 days? The most common fast in the Bible are 1 day, 2 days. I hate to tell you this, but that is not the Bible way of doing it, and it is not the testimony of history. The testimony of church history is people laid on their face before God and prayed, and God looked down and saw it and answered prayer. There is no such thing as microwave revival. There ain't no such thing as being saying, well, let's just get in there a few minutes and God will do it. No, sir. Much prayer means much power. Little prayer means little power. That's all there is to it. You preachers, I'm going to tell you the secret preaching the Bible. The secret is your prayer life. The more you learn how to pray, the better and more effective your preaching will be, and the less your preaching will be. You might have good points, funny stories, good illustrations and all of that, but as far as changing people's lives, there is no substitute for getting in your prayer closet alone with God and getting a hold of God and watching God do something. I found that out when I was 19. Went up in the woods one day, and it was nothing but woods, and it was in the spot where my house is now. I mean, that's scary. But I live in the spot right now where I went up in the woods, and God touched me. I had preached a few times, and I preached one time before I ever got called to preach. The preacher at Nebo said, take Wednesday night service. And boy, I got up there, and I loved it. I had the best time I ever was. And I thought, man, this is fun. And then I went to work, and I was working the second shift right over here where it used to be Highlander, right there off the Jamestown exit. And I was working on this knitting machine. You had to go down through here, these things up, and I was working. And the whole time I was working, in my head, I was getting the best sermons after sermon. Man, there's somebody going to preach on that. And I could see big crowds of people out in front of me. I was just ripping their heads off. I mean, and I could see myself preach. And I mean, it was in my heart. I ain't kidding you. I didn't just decide to do what I'm doing. This wasn't my choice. There ain't no doubt in my mind God called me to preach. No doubt in my mind. I know as well as I'm standing here God wants me to preach. I can tell when I'm preaching and I feel like God will, I feel like I'm doing exactly what He put me on this earth to do. That's why the devil's fought me so hard. I'm going to tell you something. I went up in the woods that day. I didn't need a Bible long and open my Bible. I don't think I'd ever fight then. I thought I'd die. You know, when you're 19, stuff, you think that you gotta eat 3 times by 3 o'clock. Hey, some of you sitting right now, you think, well, my stomach hurt. Well, it ain't gonna kill you for your stomach to hurt. If there's anybody in here who will fast one day and it causes you to die, I'll do your funeral for nothing and brag on you. Tell them what a good person you was. You do a funeral for nothing anyway. You know what I'm talking about. Ain't going to kill you. As a matter of fact, you probably live a lot longer and happier. J. Harold Smith fasted and wrote that book on fasting, and he lived to be, Lord, I'm 90 years old, preached 3 times a day, and his mind just clears the bell. Fasting will clear your mind. Have you ever went to the refrigerator? I know you've done this. And open up the refrigerator and say, I just don't know what I want. You want to go out there? I don't know. What do you want? Fish? Nah. You want steak? Nah. We eat that last night. You want it? Nah. Have you ever stood and looked? I just don't know what else. I know what's wrong with you. You ain't hungry. That's what's wrong with you. You're not hungry. Amen? You say, well, sometimes I just can't decide. I'm not. Lord, your intestines ain't been empty since you was a baby. You're working them to death. Just piling food, piling food, on down in there all the time. You're just a big old machine, man, a blob of fat and food that keeps pulling in you all the time. I'll tell you what you do. This is Sunday night. Don't eat a bite from now till Tuesday morning. Just go all day tomorrow. Don't eat a bite from now till Tuesday morning. Then go to your refrigerator and open it. I'll give you 5 seconds and you'll find out what you want. Cold biscuit and mater sound mighty good. But if you go, you go without all day long. Listen, when I fast, man, there's been times when I fast, I sit down there, I don't care what, set it down there. Cornbread, it don't matter if it's cold. I mean, pork chop, really, it don't matter. Set it down and eat it. What fasting is when you get serious before God. Somebody please bring some WD-40 and squirt that thing. Could you do something for God in your lifetime? I don't even know what's doing the squeaking. Sound like some old woman trying to shout every time I get to something important. What fasting is doing without. Some people, there is no specific time in the Bible. There's what we call an emergency fast, where you don't eat no food and no water. That's an absolute fast. Absolute. No nourishment whatsoever. Now, I've done it, but you can't do that long. Then there's what you call water fast, where you only drink water, no food at all. Now, if you're one of these people that has to take medicine, you say, Brother Danny, I can't fast because with my medicine bottle, it says take with food. That is a low-down, lame excuse. You don't have to have food to take medicine. I've done it 100 times. I take a goody powder on an empty stomach, no water or nothing, and brother, it won't hurt you at all. Amen? You don't have to have food. It won't kill you. You say, it says take with water. Take with food. Take with water. It won't kill you, and God will bless you for it. And you ain't got hypoglycemia, all of you ain't. That's just an excuse. Now look, here's what you do. If you drink juice, or if you drink whatever you decide to drink, that's between you and God. If you're going to fast tomorrow, you get up in the morning, don't eat nothing, drink your glass of water, go to work all day long, at lunch, drink your glass of water. If you feel like ain't nothing in your stomach, drink it hot. Turn the water on real hot. I done it today when I was fasting. Drink a hot glass of water like that. It's just like flushing your radiator out. That's good for you. You need that. It don't taste that good, but it's good for you. Amen? You know what y'all's problem is? You think everything you put in your mouth is supposed to taste good. That good hot water will flush you out. Amen? Good for you. Need to put a hose like that and see if we can. Get some of that trash out of you. Then, some people just do it. In the Bible, they fast till evening. Now, what you do, what I do a lot of times when I fast, like if I get up in the morning and I'm going to fast, I don't fight all day long, drink water, and then tomorrow night after church or whatever I do, 9 or 10 o'clock, I'll eat something and go to bed. That would be from tonight till tomorrow night. That's 24 hours. And what I'll be doing for the youth rally is more than that. I'll be going like my day Wednesday, I won't eat anything from Tuesday night to Thursday morning. So that means Wednesday, all day, nothing. No solid food. That's my conviction and my personal. The Bible don't say you have to do that. You could go from Tuesday night to Wednesday night and still be scriptural. So that's up to you. But we're going to do it by the grace of God, and we're going to pray that God, you don't do it for a show. You say, well, I thought you wasn't supposed to tell people when you fast. You're not supposed to tell people to brag and like make yourself look good, but there is a place in the Bible where the preacher called a fast and a public fast, and everybody all the way through the Bible, they call fast, and everybody did. So what I'm doing now is right. Now, what we're going to do besides fast is we're going to pray. And we're going to pray and pray. We will be having an all-night prayer meeting. All you young, if you are a preacher that goes to this church, you ought to be the first man in here when we have a special prayer meeting. I know we all have to work, and I understand that. I'm not stupid. Well, that night we have all-night prayer meeting. I'll be driving back from Virginia and won't be here till probably 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. But listen, brother, I know our preacher, we work on bus routes and you work jobs. I'm not stupid. I understand that. But our preachers, we ought to lead the way. Amen? We ought to be the example. God's called you to preach. You ought to be the example, fellas, for everybody else in here. And then everybody else right here in with us, have a good prayer meeting and pray and pray. Some of you ladies get together and say, you know what? I used to watch this soap opera every day. Why don't me and you just get on the phone and give our prayer request and we'll pray every day at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock or whatever that thing come on. And we'll pray and we'll do what God wants us to do. The next thing is we're going to take these things right here. Who don't have one of these? Who does not have one of these right now? All right? Give these out, fellas. I want everybody in here that can write to get one of these tonight. Anybody who don't have one, raise your hand real high. Where was y'all at this morning, y'all? You're supposed to got one this morning. All right? I'll get that, and we're going to start working on it. Look on the back of it, and it's going to tell you there's a list back here of 20 people. If everybody in here put 20 people's names down there, and I mean you're going to work on them. It's not too early to start. We should have our flyers ready. You ain't heard nothing from Fireman, have you? We should have our flyers ready this week, Lord willing. And we ought to be able to get these things out. Now, here's what I want you to do. It said, my personal prayer and visitation list. So you're going to write down here, Aunt Molly. You're going to write right under her name, Uncle George. You're going to write right under her name, kids that live across the street. You're going to write right underneath her name, Mama. You're going to write right underneath that, Daddy. You're going to write right underneath that, brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and cousins. Then when you fast and faith, when your stomach says, I'm going to die if you don't feed me, you'll say, shut up. God help Uncle George. Yum, yum, yum. That's what Uncle George says. God will say, pray for Aunt Molly. God, please help Aunt Molly. And you pray. That's what we call prayer and fasting. Jesus said, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And fasting's left out in the new modern versions of the Bible. But your King James says, prayer and fasting. Whoever put their Bibles together didn't think too much of that fasting, and it's evident in their preaching and the church services that they have. And so, brother, listen, you hear me tonight? I don't possess no great ability. I don't have anything supernatural about me, but I found out when I was 19 years old, that day up in the woods where the power's at, I know where the power is. It comes from ourselves fasting and praying before God till God gets on us. I didn't tell you the rest of that story. Stayed up there all day and prayed and fasted. Supposed to preach a youth service that night for Brother Bill Long at Hillcrest Free Will Baptist Church. And I prayed, and I read my Bible, and I prayed, and I read my Bible, and I prayed, and I read my Bible. And the girls, my girls wasn't born then, of course, but my sister and my mom and all them, one of them hollered, and they said, Danny! We're getting some Kentucky Fried Chicken. Come on down here and eat. And I said, nope, I don't want none. And in fact, that was a big deal for me at 19 years old. I mean, not eating, because you know, you've never done it before. You honestly think it'll kill you. And it won't. Make you a better person, physically, spiritually, every other way. People say, well, the doctor said you're supposed to have 3 meals a day. That's talking about people that work hard and sweat, which most people don't sweat that much no more. And I prayed that evening about 3:00. Honestly, it was like a typewriter cut loose in my head. It was like the Lord started giving me stuff just like it. I said, hallelujah. Praise God. And I got up that night and it was completely different from every other time I had stood. It was like I'd say something and it was like, boom, bomb dropping on that congregation. People started getting right with God, and I found the secret. And the secret to preaching is not a pretty outline. With all our points starting with the same. I mean, that's all right. I'm not against that. I do it myself. But that's not the secret. They take you to cemetery, and they teach you and train you. And they say, what you need to learn how to do is you need your outlines perfect and all that. You know, I heard some of these preachers, and they sound so good, man. All their points start with the same thing and everything, but there's no power. Nothing wrong with the outline like that. I'm all for it. Helps people remember and all that. But brother, that ain't the secret. The secret is getting in the secret place and giving ourselves to God. Now we're going to start tonight. If you've got a pen, you can already be starting writing people down here because we're going to do this before we leave. Because if I let you leave here without it, you won't even do it, some of you. So I want you to start writing right now while I'm still talking. Then we're going to start our spring program next Sunday. Next Sunday, Lord willing. I want us to have a good breakfast at least 3 Saturdays and then donuts and snacks and stuff the other 2 for our bus workers, starting off this Saturday with a big breakfast. Miss Loreen always helps with that, but it's not fair that she should have to do that. We need some other ladies that would volunteer to fix the breakfast. Surely, surely there's a lady in this church to fix a breakfast if we pay for it and have it here for the bus workers those other Saturdays. There's no reason that we ought to have bukus of ladies, Greek for lots, and they would say, I'll help. I mean, if a woman's going to stay out here all day on bus route, amen, The least we can do is help them get them something to eat. Our bus workers leave here on Saturday morning and usually go to a restaurant and buy their own breakfast and buy their own gas and do that. And while some of y'all's at home working in your yard. My yard needs working on. But I went on bus route yesterday. And it rained 2 days before that. You just got to get your parties right. And get it. So we need some ladies' help. We'll get that in a minute. Here on 040404, we need to make up our mind to seek God. I told you this wasn't going to be much of a message, but it's what we need tonight. And I believe the answer's on the way right now. God doesn't hurt us. He's listening to my sermon. And the answer's on the way for May 14th. But there's going to be a fight between there and here like you ain't never seen. And we stay faithful to God. And on the 14th, the answer will come. All right? Stop writing just a second and give me attention. You may already have the day in mind that you want to fast. I'd like to have 3 or 4 every day. And that way, if somebody does backslide, somebody will be fasting. And if we get too many on one day, we'll switch. Saturday and Sunday will be the hardest, but it might be to eat. If you work real hard physically, Sunday will be your best day because you just, you know, get to sit and relax. So let's do that. We'll start with tomorrow, and we'll go through all the way to Sunday. All right? Everyone, you say, well, I'm not going to raise my hand because I feel like it's showing off. No, you're not showing off. You're not doing your works to be seen of men. That ain't even what that scripture's talking about. I'm calling a public fast, so I need to know who's going to help us. Starting on Monday, would you raise your hand, please? Thank you, Lord. That's plenty, plenty. We might want some of y'all to switch if we get down. That's about 12 on Monday. Tuesday. Very good. That's about 6 or 8. That's what we want. Tuesday. Wednesday. That's me. And about 10 more. Thursday. Okay, that's about 4. How about a couple of you? Okay, that's plenty. Thursday. Friday, that's good. Thank you very much. Thank you. Saturday. Okay, would some of you Tuesdays like to switch to Saturday? Saturday's a hard day to fast. Very hard. Would anybody want to switch over? You switch over, Brother Steve, on one of those big days, Monday or Tuesday. Anybody else switch over to Saturday? Okay, Brother Andy. All right, that'll put us about 5 on Saturday. All right, Sunday. Praise the Lord. That's good. We're not going to eat anything on Sunday. Now, that's starting tomorrow, and the 40th day will be May 14th, the first day of the youth rally. Now we're going to work on our list. You get this list right here, and we're going to get serious with it. And I've got a list already at home. I'm going to put some people. Listen, people say, we won't have bunches of groups coming from out of town. We'll have some. I mean, I'm getting phone calls, but that's not why we have a youth rally. Amen. I mean, they're welcome.